Well, we've been enjoying the music, and that's been good to listen to. And I'm sure you've enjoyed it at home as well. Welcome to the gospel service here at Hebron Free Presbyterian Church as you join us online on sermon audio and on Facebook. Just to remind you that the services are online for the next little while. And something that I didn't say this morning, but I just want to say tonight at the start of the meeting that anyone needing pastoral care or help in any way, including groceries, over the next little while of lockdown, please do not hesitate to contact me or the office bearers of the church. If we can help in any way, just want to set that before you tonight. Now, the opening praise is the hymn 210, His Love Is More Than Tongue Can Tell. The love that Jesus had for me to suffer on the cruel tree, that I a ransomed soul might be, is more than tongue can tell. Sing it with us in your mind and heart. A tremendous theme, and with that theme in mind of the love of God more than tongue can tell, let's bow together in prayer and seek the face of Almighty God. Gracious God, we bow at thy footstool of mercy. We come to the throne of grace. We can go beyond the veil, for the veil has been rent in twain. And by faith we can stand in the immediate presence of God by the Spirit of the Lord, and by faith we are taken there to appear before the Lord tonight, just now in prayer, and to plead the merit and the work of Christ as our means of approach, trusting not to ourselves but in Jesus, thy blood and thy righteousness. We thank thee for the love of God towards a fallen world, We pray as they at the beginning of time when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, thou didst not abandon the human race, but in love and mercy you opened the door of salvation. You gave the promise of a Savior that would come in the fullness of time. We thank thee for the promise given to Adam that there would be one who would come from the seed of the woman, who would bruise his heel but would bruise the head of the serpent. And we thank thee that Jesus came. He came 2,000 years ago, and he came to do exactly that which was promised to Adam at the fall. And there particularly upon the cross of Calvary, he crushed the work of the devil forever. For this cause the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And Lord, you came to this world and you overcame him, and you defeated sin on our behalf. You paid the price for our sin. You opened the door to paradise eternal. Oh, we thank thee for your love and for the many demonstrations of that love. And not least, as we look away to the cross and we contemplate the sufferings of Christ and how he bore our sin in his own body at the tree. Truly we can say his love is more than tongue can tell. And Lord, our tongues can tell many a thing. And we can certainly tell the revelation of God about the love of God in the Scriptures. And we think of those that have been gifted in most eloquent ways. We think of great preachers of the past and how they declared the love of God and how they preached the cross of Christ. And yet truly even for them, your love is more than tongue can tell. We rejoice in it tonight. We revel in it. We thank thee for the love of God to sinful men like ourselves. We have experienced that. We have received that. And the love of God as a result is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given unto us. We pray that thou wilt enable us in the light of your love to love thee more. We love thee because thou didst first love us. And Lord, because thou didst first love us, help us to love thee with a very deep love, a very conscious love every day. Keep us from sin. We know, Lord, if we love thee, we will desire not to sin. We will want to walk in this world aright. We will want to please the Lord in all things, to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit and to live acceptably before heaven. We pray that you will do thy work of grace in all of our hearts. Bless this congregation of people as we're separated for this little time. As our congregation now in these days meets at home, oh God, bless us in our circumstances that in so many ways seem to be against us. We pray that you will even knit us closer together. You will give us a deeper love, the one for the other. Lord, we believe with all of our hearts, if our love for God is the way that it ought to be, love for the great King and head of the church, well then, our love for the body of Christ, the church, the believing people of God will be where it ought to be. And even going beyond that, our love for the souls of men perishing in sin will be what it ought to be. Make us more like our Savior. Give us, Lord, the burden that Christ had, the Savior that wept over the fallen city of Jerusalem, the Savior that wept in the garden, that man of strong crying and tears that the Apostle speaks about in the book of Hebrews when he was here in the days of his flesh. Oh, the weeping Christ as he wept for the lost. Want to be like him, Lord. We see a world out there lying in darkness and wickedness and sin. We see people that we know and we love, especially in our families and in our friendship circles, and they are without God and without hope and without Christ in this sinful world. Oh God, we pray that you will open our eyes to see them in all the danger that they are in, and all the God-forsakenness that they find themselves in. Help us, Lord, to see them in their sin that offends God, and Lord, help us to see the awful destiny to which they are heading without thee. And then may we be moved with compassion as the Savior was moved. May we go and reach them for the Lord and be that witness that we ought to be. Remember all of our congregations tonight meeting like this, as ministers will gather to just get the Word of God out there on the internet. Lord, bless their ministry. Bless the effort that is made. Crown it with success, God's success. Advance your kingdom in these days. Bring sinners to Christ. Bring backsliders back to their first love. Encourage your people. Keep us in the way. And Lord, we've been thinking of our hospital staff and our care workers and all that are involved in the front line, that thou will bless them and protect them every day. And Lord, assist them in the work that they do. They need a lot of wisdom. They need a lot of grace. They need strength, mentally and physically. Oh God, be with them. Be with our congregation and protect each one in these days of the virus. And bring a mighty deliverance. Lord, hear these our prayers as we set them before thee now. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We bid you welcome as you join us tonight on the internet. And we want to remind you just of a few things that are needful to emphasize. First of all, the week of prayer. It is just the one week in the year, particularly as we start the year together. And as we cannot come to the church and pray together the way that we would like to, we're doing this each evening on Zoom. Now, Zoom is not like Facebook. It's not like some of these other things that you have on the internet. Zoom is something that you will not be able to go into until you're invited, until that invitation is sent to you. And so that will be done sometime before tomorrow night's meeting, the first one. So if you've been trying to get into Zoom, as some people perhaps have been, you'll not be able to do it until you're sent the link. But it will be sent to you each evening, and we hope that as many as possible from our church will join us. If there's any others that would like to pray with us, if you contact us, we'll send you the link so that you can be with us this week. So it's roughly from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock each night. We will begin with a little Bible reading and a few thoughts, and then we'll get down to pray as a congregation. We always compile a prayer list every year. We've been doing that now for over 20 years. And these are names that we put onto a piece of paper. We get it all set up so that there are folks to pray for every single day in the week. We divide it into seven. And therefore, if you have unconverted people in your family or your friends that you're concerned about, and you would like that volume of prayer going up every day for them, will you send their names in to me, please? Text me. Get them into us some way, and we will get the list compiled before the end of the week. Saturday is a day of prayer set aside by our presbytery for all of our churches, and everyone is able to join us on Saturday. We haven't got the details yet, but they will be sent out through the announcement WhatsApp group. Anyone else again wishing to join this, if you let us know, we will send you the details. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday school will take place at 10:30 on the Hebron Facebook. The Bible class will be on Zoom at 10:30 as Phil deals with the subject, Christ in the Midst of Every Crisis. I want to remind you, so we plan towards it, the Youth Challenge recommences on the 19th of January and the Youth Fellowship on the 22nd of January. And Dipankar from India hopefully will be able to join in with us that night. Thank you for your tithes and offerings for God's work. I remind you that today is Building Fund. Thank you for the missionary gifts that were given of various sorts, from the least gift to the greatest gift. It's all thoroughly appreciated, and we want to acknowledge these things tonight before the Lord. Now we sing the hymn 203, Love Lifted Me. This is one of my favorite hymns. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. Overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. Then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Christ my Savior lifted me, now safe am I. And the greatest theme of the chorus is love lifted me. When no one but Christ could help, love lifted me. Let's sing these words in our minds and hearts, and let's praise and worship God. Love lifted me when no one but Christ could help. Love lifted me. Another great theme. And we're going to preach tonight on the love of God, and I want you to turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and then we're going to read some verses at the end of Romans chapter 8. Romans 5, and reading together the opening 10 verses of this chapter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And then the final verses of Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're ending our reading at the end of the 8th chapter, knowing that God will bless it to every heart. Let's unite together in prayer. Help us to handle your holy word. Help us to be faithful and true to those who listen. Help us, Lord, to set the gospel before our hearers in all its glory, in all its simplicity, and with great sincerity. Help me to preach as a dying man to dying men and women. Help me to preach as if this was the last that I would ever preach. Oh God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Be with me in all that I say. Give me a clear mind and an understanding heart. Give me a passion in my soul for the lost and the perishing. And bless your word to every individual that listens to it tonight. Your dear people, they need a word in these days. Speak to them. And the dear lost souls of men that listen in tonight, Lord, they certainly need a word in these days. Speak to them. Speak through this servant, this instrument in your hand, a weak earthen vessel. But Lord, when you come and fill it with your power, then something will happen and something will be done and something will be accomplished. So may your word not return to thee void, but may it accomplish that which God pleases, and may it prosper in the thing whereto thou descended. We ask in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. The love of God in Christ. And we will eventually come to our text tonight in the 8th verse of chapter 5 of Romans. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is no greater theme than the theme of love, even among the sons of men. That love that is within the family relationship. And we all know something about that tonight. the love between husbands and wives, between parents and children and other family members. And then there is that love between close friends. When we think of the scripture that tells us there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and oftentimes that is the case. There are those who are not related to us, and yet they are closer to us than some relatives. Now, preeminently, that is Christ, but it's also true to say that it is there among the sons of men. We have a wonderful example in the experience of David and Jonathan of the Old Testament scriptures. Then there is that love among brethren, and we know how preeminent it is in the scriptures, and we know the emphasis that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to it when he was here upon the earth. That love between our brothers and sisters in Christ in the body of our dear Lord Jesus. And then there is that love between God and man. Dear believer, don't you love the Lord tonight? Can't you say, as we have it in the words of the psalmist in the Psalm 116 and verse 1, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Can't you sing in the depths of your soul in the words of Francis Ridley Havergal's hymn, I know I love thee better, Lord, than any earthly joy, for thou hast given me the peace which nothing can destroy. Sadly, my love is often faint and weak and far from what it ought to be. Indeed, too often the indictment written across the church at Ephesus is written over my experience, where the Lord Jesus Christ had to say concerning that congregation, thou hast left thy first love. Despite many good works, the Lord Jesus speaks about the good works of that church. Despite the much labor, the enduring patience, the hatred of evil men, the unfailing perseverance, Jesus had to say to them very clearly, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And I feel it. I feel it in my own heart, that my love for Christ waxes and wanes too often in my Christian experience. And through examination of my fervent love for Christ, or indeed its absence, I must confess, Lord, in this matter I feel I come very far short, and I hang my head in shame. When I think of the evidences of true love for Christ, keeping his commandments, walking in his ways, obeying his truth, living holy lives, faithfulness to his word, to his throne, to his house, to his people, to his service. Is it not true that we come very far short of the standard that is required? And so I pray, oh, for grace to love thee more. Quicken my heart by the breath of the Spirit. Deliver me from a sluggish, slothful Christian experience, which is but symptomatic of my lack of love to the person of my dear Savior. I suppose I should say, Lord, show me thy wounds afresh. Lord, lead me to the cross of Calvary. Lord, help me to understand it. Help me to take it in. What it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin, because it is as I view the cross more often that my love for the Savior will increase and will rekindle. For truly, as John declares in his first epistle, we love him because he first loved us. It is because the Lord Jesus set his love upon us in the first place and did so from all eternity that you and I in turn love him. There is no question that he loved us. No dispute, no debate, no doubt whatsoever over the fact that God loved me, a wretched, hell-deserving, undeserving sinner as I was and as I am. God's love is upon us. He set his love upon us. How blessed are those words from the prophecy of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31 and 3. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And Paul in the New Testament scriptures, he writes in Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And what of the beloved John, the disciple of love? Surely you would expect John to write more extensively on this subject than any other, and so he did. And one of the things that he said in his first epistle in 1 John 3 and 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I was out walking with my wife yesterday afternoon between study times, just to get a little bit of exercise and fresh air. And as I walked, and I prayed, and I wondered about this gospel meeting and what I should preach upon, the words from Romans 8 came ringing in my ears, and particularly Romans chapter 8 and verse 39. Nothing, and I'm putting the word nothing there to replace the 10 words that are used or the 10 descriptions that are used that might possibly separate us from God. And the apostle is emphasizing nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it was this very phrase that sparked off blessed thoughts of God's love for me and how nothing can separate me from that love. I suppose I was thinking about the virus in particular and how that it is separating us from each other in so many ways. It's separating pastor and people as we've entered into this lockdown situation, not coming to church, congregation not sitting here in the house of God, that's most lamentable. And of course, it is separating families that cannot meet the one with the other, especially if your grandparents are aged or vulnerable. It is separating dear friends who must be kept apart because of the infectious state of this virus. And it's even separating husbands and wives. And I think of those within the home context who contract the virus, and that virus is so severe in their body that they have to be hospitalized. And one of the great lamenting things I know for those families that have experienced these things is maybe a husband in hospital and a wife who cannot visit, and vice versa. It's been a very, very grieving time. The virus has brought separation. And so many other things in this life bring separation. But nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No, not even death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Such are the scenarios that Paul set before his friends in the Church of Rome in Romans chapter 8. Here is an unchanging and unchangeable truth that God Almighty has established in his eternal counsel. Nothing, and I want you to get a hold of this truth tonight, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. To you, dear believing souls who love God, albeit so faintly at times, who are the called according to his purpose, and we read all these things in Romans chapter 8, we've read them tonight. He has conformed you to the image of his Son. He has predestinated you. He's called you in grace. He's justified you. Indeed, he has died for you. He has risen again for you. He makes intercession for you at the right hand of the Father. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so whatever you're going through, whatever trouble has beset you, whatever sorrow has afflicted you, whatever valley you've entered, whatever crisis has arisen in your earthly pilgrimage, let this eternal truth sink deeply into your heart. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You should learn this text, memorize it, ponder it, hide it in your heart, experience it in your soul. Let its reality permeate every part of your being. Do not forget it or be tempted to disbelieve it. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, how blessed and precious is this truth to the believing soul, to the dear child of God who has experienced God's redeeming love in his heart. The love that Jesus had for me to suffer on the cruel tree that I, a ransomed soul, might be, as we were singing tonight, is more than tongue can tell. And then I got to think about the dear unconverted around me. Many of them attend our church. They sit in our pews. They sing our hymns. They listen to our sermons. And they receive the highest religious privileges afforded to any man. You have not come to experience God's love in Christ. You have not been quickened by the mighty Spirit. You have not come into that personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ, whereby you are called the sons of God. Indeed, my friends, you are separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For you are not saved, and you are still on the road to hell. You are living in this world without Christ and without hope. You're passing through these days of coronavirus, and Jesus is not your Savior, and heaven is not your home. Oh, what shall become of you, dear sinner? You need Christ. You need mercy. You need forgiveness. You need to come to know the love of God as we have it manifested in the Savior. Can I lead you in these closing minutes to God's love? Will you listen? And listen intently to what I have to say. Will you take heed to my text found here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8? But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I have just three simple thoughts that I want to leave with you tonight as we think of the love of God that is found in Christ. First of all, there is the demonstration of God's love. My text tells me that God commendeth, or God demonstrateth, his love toward us. God did not leave us in our sin, though we deserved nothing but for God to leave us in our sin. And that would have been a just and a holy thing if God had have done that. We had sinned against him. We had broken his holy commandments. We had despised his love and his grace. We had walked according to the course of this world. We had persisted in our waywardness. We had rejected his Son and salvation. We deserve nothing but the holy and just sentence that God has decreed, and that is the sentence of eternal death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's God's decree. The wages of sin is death. That's God's decree. And I tremble when I read the description of that death that is outlined by the beloved disciple in Revelation chapter 20 and those final verses that brings us to the great judgment day, the judgment of the ungodly at the great white throne. Let me read these verses with you in Revelation 20 and verse 11 onwards. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And my friends, when I read such words as these, as God brings us to the very judgment day, when sinners stand before him, I tremble as I think of what this death sentence really entails. The second death, the eternal death that we deserve in this awful place called hell, or so described here, as the lake of fire. This is what I deserved, and this is what you deserve. However, God opened a way of mercy and forgiveness and salvation. He commendeth, he demonstrateth his love towards us. He extended it, he showed it, he stepped in. The work of Jesus on the cross for you and I is God's ultimate proof of his love for you and for me. He could give no greater proof. It's the ultimate demonstration of God's love. The demonstration of his love. And then secondly, I want you to think about the occasion of God's love. And I want you to mark the little phrase here, while we were yet sinners. I have often pondered this phrase with amazement. When did God love us? When did he set his love upon you and I? While we were yet sinners. There was nothing good in us. There was nothing to recommend us to God. There was nothing to provoke his love towards mankind. There was nothing to attract him or draw him towards us. We were wretched and defiled. We were sinful and unholy. We were breakers of his law and rejectors of his word. We lived in sin and disobedience. We trampled underfoot his grace. We resisted his spirit. We ignored his warnings. We neglected his salvation. We spurned his calls. We despised the opportunities that he graciously gave to us over and over and over again. How dreadful was our behavior towards this God. And yet we're told here that God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. When we were doing all these things, God looked down into this old sin-cursed world and he saw man in all his sin and departure, in all his rebellion and rejection. And while we were in that hideous state of law-breaking and sin-pursuing, he loved us, and he had thoughts of good and peace and reconciliation towards us while we were yet sinners. Can you get that truth into your heart and into your mind tonight? This is the occasion. This is the timing of it, when we were in our sin. And then thirdly tonight, there is the substitution of God's love. Christ died for us. God commendeth his love toward us, and then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the heart of the gospel. This indeed is the center pillar of God's grace. This is the highest expression and demonstration of God's love. Christ died for us. And that word for, just a little word of three letters, is very, very important because it leads us to the word substitution. brings us to see the substitutionary work of Christ. We have it also in the sixth verse of Romans chapter 5. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And the Greek word for is the word hooper. That means for the sake of, on the behalf of, in the stead of. The Lord Jesus Christ stood in the place of sinners, in my place, condemned, he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Or in the words of another hymn, he took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. Indeed, another hymn that reminds us that Jehovah lifted up his rod, O Christ, it fell on thee, that rod of divine wrath that should have fallen upon me, the sinner, and so fallen for all eternity in the place that is called hell, the second death that we've mentioned tonight, fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. And Jesus took our place, and he died in our stead. All the scripture emphasizes and magnifies the Savior who took the sinner's place fully and completely. And he did that, of course, in his life and in his death. The Lord Jesus Christ fully represented us as the mediator here upon the earth in the life of obedience that he lived. He obeyed the commandments of God. He fulfilled the law of God on our behalf. He walked in this world perfectly, righteously, and he did so on behalf of sinners as our substitute in life. And he did this, of course, in his death. He took the sinner's place when he died for us at the cross of Calvary and bore the eternal wrath of God against sin. I say to you tonight, go to the cross and view the Savior there. Who took our place. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The evangelical prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5 declares. Come to the New Testament to give you one further example. In the words of Peter in 1 Peter 3 and 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that we might be, that he might bring us to God. And so I say, go to the cross, dear sinner, for here is the greatest evidence of God's love for sinners. See a Savior. Get your eyes on him. See a Savior wounded for your transgressions. See a Savior bleeding and dying. See a Savior suffering in the flesh and agonizing in his soul. See a Savior bearing away the guilt and the sin of rebellious man. See a Savior enduring the wrath of God. See a Savior taking upon himself our punishment. Yes, bearing our hell that we should have borne forevermore so that you and I might be saved and go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Greater love hath no man than this. As we look to the cross and we watch Jesus die, is your soul not stirred? Is your heart not moved? Do you not have any feelings tonight at such a sight? Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love for me, of the love that brought thee down from heaven to die on Calvary. There upon that center cross on the hill called Mount Calvary, Christ died for us. You understand it tonight as we think of the love of God in Christ? You understand that he took your place fully. He stood in your stead. He became your substitute for sin. Oh, then will you come to him? Will you believe on him? Will you turn from your sin this very night? And then you will have the testimony that the great apostle Paul had when he said, he loved me and he gave himself for me. It is my prayer tonight, as we have contemplated the mighty love of God as we find it in Christ, that your heart has been touched and moved. You've been brought to a place of realization in your life that you need Christ. May you turn to him. May you turn to him now in faith and in repentance. We're here to help you. We're just a phone call away. If needs be, we can go to your home. We can stand at your door, whatever is necessary to speak to you about the things of God, if that is needful. But it's not a preacher you need. It's Christ that you need. And you can just bow where you are right now, and you can confess your sin to him and take him as your Savior. You can say, Lord, I realize that I am a sinner. I realize that I deserve nothing but death forevermore in that awful place called hell. But Lord, I realize tonight that there is one who came in loving kindness to this world. His name is Jesus, and he died for me, and he took my place, and he stood in my stead. And right now, by faith, I take him as my Savior. I repent of my sin. And Lord, I call upon your name tonight for God's salvation. Oh Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Come into my heart and life and be my Savior now. And if you pray a prayer like that, God will hear you. And God will answer your prayer. And he will save your precious soul. Let us bow together, please, before him. Oh God, our Father, we thank thee this night for your word. We thank thee for your love. We praise thee for the great truths declared in this text of Scripture, that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. A truth that sinners need to see. Lord, may they have their eyes open tonight to behold Christ in all his work, and may they turn to thee. And Lord, just as your people, as we come to the end of this service, we want to thank thee that we have received that love. We have come to know Christ as our Savior. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're thankful for that tonight. You know all that's going on in our country, and you know those that are suffering. You know the heartache that even COVID-19 has caused. Oh, gracious God, we pray that you will instill into our hearts more and more the truth of your love and how we can never be separated from it. And help us, Lord, to lean upon these eternal truths. We pray that you'll dismiss us in a few minutes from the house of God and from this worship service, this gospel meeting, and do so for the sake of the Savior. Amen. And in conclusion, we do want to sing a hymn. In our hymn books, it's the hymn 383. There will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love divine. Love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Praise God, we can say it is. It's wonderful to you and I who know him. And I trust it will become wonderful to those that know him not. Come to Christ. Receive him as your Savior. Do that now. Let's hear the music and let's sing in our hearts these wonderful verses. Thank you. have one of our deacons here tonight who's been a great help and encouragement to us today, our brother Ivor Buick. I'm going to ask Ivor if he'll come and just close the meeting in prayer and dismiss us with the blessing of God. Thank you, Ivor.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that drew salvation's plan. We thank you for the grace that brought it down to man. And we thank you for that mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for this love that we can experience tonight by coming in simple faith and by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts today. We thank you for your word in the gospel tonight, Lord. And if there's one listening in tonight who has yet never came to the foot of the old rugged cross, we pray, Father, you'll draw them with your power tonight. We pray, Father, before they put their head in the pillow tonight, they'll come in simple faith and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And these days, Lord, as the hymn writer says, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Father, we just pray now that you'll separate us with thy fear, you'll go before us. We pray you'll bless everyone who's been listening in tonight and draw near, for it's in thy name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. And it is with sincere thanks that we just say good night to you. Thank you for being part of this service, this gospel meeting. And for our own people particularly, remember the week of prayer beginning tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Let's be part of this prayer week and seek the Lord on behalf of our land. If ever there was a time that we needed to pray, it is today as we think of what's happening with the virus. So let's seek the Lord together. Let's be faithful at the throne of grace. Good night to you, and God bless you.